ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 9 मदर यशोदा बाइंड्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट 15। तद्धाम बध्यमानस्य सवार्भकस्य कृतागसः द्विअङ्गुलोनम् अभूतेन संददे अन्यच्च गोपिका। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance, the width of 2 fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join to it. Purport: Here is the first chapter in Krishna's exhibition of unlimited potency to Mother Yashoda. When she tried to bind him, the rope was too short. The Lord had already shown his unlimited potency by killing Putana, Shaktasura at Trinavrta. Now Krishna exhibited another vibhuti, or display of potency, to Mother Yashoda. Unless I agree, Krishna desire to show, you cannot bind me. Thus, although Mother Yashoda, in her attempt to bind Krishna, added one rope after another, ultimately she was a failure. When Krishna agreed, however, she was successful. In other words, one must be in transcendental love with Krishna, but that does not mean that one can control Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied with one's devotional service, he does everything himself. Sevon mukhehi jivvado swayam eva sfurti adaha. He reveals more and more to the devotee as the devotee advances in service. Jivvado. This service begins with the tongue, with chanting and with taking the prasad of Krishna. Atah Shri Krishna namadi na bhavet grahayam indriyah semon mukhehi jivvado swam eva sfurti adaha. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. So we seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here. We'll try to repeat whatever I have collected from the devotees' presentations and Srila Prabhupada purports, so that we can purify ourselves and glorify Lord Shri Krishna. So this 10th canto which is going on, devotees are really going deep into it, but I would just try to present a little bit of simple philosophy connected to the point about this. Yashoda Maa is not able to bind Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that you cannot bind me unless I agree. So that is the crux of the whole matter. The whole process of Krishna conscious movement is based on this. Bhakti Yoga is based on this. That's why Bhakti Yoga becomes much more difficult than any other yoga, because any other yoga system person, you know, like any demigod worship or Gyan Yoga, Ashtang Yoga, he is putting endeavor and he is getting the result. He is putting endeavor, he is getting the result. Like in Ganpati worship, the full shloka, I don't remember, this line comes, Shadbir Maser Phalam Labhet. What is that? Anybody knows? That with 6 months, he will get the result, Phalam Labhet. But there is no shloka like this in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, I have not come across. Although there are many shlokas which talk about achirena, very soon, shigra, immediately. But when that shigra comes, when that immediate comes, we don't know. That depends on Krishna, that depends on our sincerity. So basically here, that's why Bhakti Yoga becomes difficult for many people. Because here, there is no guarantee when it will come. We cannot just always keep pushing. You know, I want to go back, I want to go back, but I don't know when I'll go. So that is a very important thing. That's why patience is more important over here. So here, the 2 fingers which are described by Acharya as our endeavor and mercy. So in any walk of our life, there are many factors which are in our control and which are beyond our control. That's how the life is. So intelligent person always focuses on the factors which are in his little bit control. Not too much control. Anyway, Krishna is the controller. But little control he has given us. So within these two factors, endeavor and mercy, which one is in our control? Endeavor. So that's what we'll try to discuss, that that when Krishna is saying, you cannot bind me unless I agree. So he agrees. He agrees when he sees a sincere endeavor from the sadhaka's point side. Prabhupada was there once with his disciples on a morning walk, and they came across one pond filled with water. And so many birds were there and ducks were there. And at one spot when Prabhupada was standing, he saw that one mother duck was trying to feed her children. And one small, literally very helpless baby, it was crying like anything, ka, 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 ka. And mother was feeding more to her, or it, whatever, him, I don't know. So Prabhupada said, see, this is what. Because this baby duck is crying more than all other its brothers and sisters. So it is getting more attention of mother. So when we cry more for Krishna, naturally Krishna will pay attention to us. You know, it's natural. It's not that something partiality or he's, you know, doing favor to somebody, he's not a favor, not doing favor to another person. It's a natural relationship. Relationship of love, relationship of attention. A helpless child, because he gets all the attention or she gets all the attention of mother, because mother feels that nobody there to take care of this child. Recently I visited one devotee, so that they just got a small child, you know, just 1.5 months back. And the mother was telling that, what can we do? Even if we don't feel like serving, we feel is so... This person is so helpless. We have to serve him. Nobody else is there to help him. So that's what the relation is there between the Lord and the living entity also. When living entity express that sincere endeavor that there is nobody else in this world who can help me, then actually Lord is there to help us, even more eager than ourselves. So that's the thing. And who can endeavor to achieve Krishna? Anybody, actually. It's not that no qualification. Krishna has not put any qualification for that. That's the good thing actually about it. Krishna has told in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, Jana Sukritino Arjuna, Artho Jigyasu Artharthi Gyani Cha Bhartarshaba. So although Krishna has not put any condition, any terms and you know nothing like that, but still Krishna says that generally it is seen that these four kind of people comes to me. And they are Sukritina. They have to be pious. Little bit piety has to be there. But it's not the only thing. Somebody is not pious, he can also come. But generally, these four kinds of people have come to me. And among these four kinds, artha means distress, artharthi means who is looking for money, and jigyasu means who is inquisitive, and jnani means who already has some knowledge about, you know, this world and absolute, and he's looking for more about it. Which is the maximum number? Artha, naturally, distress. Why? Because this world is full of distress. This world is full of miseries. So when this world is full of miseries and people are miserable, so naturally more miserable people only will turn to Krishna. So everybody almost is miserable in this world. Some express, some show and some don't show. That is the only difference. You know, some people are very expert in covering up the reality and some people are not so expert. You know, they just, everything comes on their face and they just talk about to other people. So here, everybody is distressed, and in that distressful situation, they keep taking shelter of different things of this world. Because in distressful situation, person has to take shelter of somebody or something. Because why is distress? Because he is not able to becoming happy on his own. That's why, you know, like things are failing at his side. Then he looks help for from others, you know, outside. So generally, because people are living in this world and they are part of this world, they are identifying themselves with this body and world, so naturally they take shelter of this world. And unfortunately, devotees don't people don't understand that how dangerous this world is. So if we can first understand the difference between material endeavor and spiritual endeavor, then it will be good, na, to put more energy into spiritual endeavor. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because we are talking about an endeavor here, so there has to be motivation, because people are very motivated for materialistic endeavor, because they have knowledge only about that. But if we can gain knowledge about their endeavor and here endeavor, it will be very easy. So Krishna very clearly clarifies in the second chapter itself, Neha Bikramana Ashusti Prityavayona Vidyate Salpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. That in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. And little advancement also can save us from the most dangerous kind of fear. What is that most dangerous fear? Prabhupada talks that going back to lower species of life. Somebody say, kya problem hai? What is the problem? Going to the lower species. They are much more happy. Like, you know, if you go to this Malabar Hill, there is one road there, very to Hanging Garden. And many people there come with their dogs in the evening. And these dogs are living life better than any other human being in Bombay, you know, many of the human beings. This is what is wrong, I'll become one of these kind of dogs. But it's not that definite that you'll become one of those dogs living in the Malabar Hill in one of the flat. You may be living in somewhere in the street also and being beaten like anything. Maybe taken by the municipality. There is no guarantee. Like one person in the crowd, he just got up once in Prabhupada lecture. He says, Swami, what is the problem becoming dog? So Prabhupada said, okay, you have all my blessings. Become. So people unfortunately don't even realize the dangerous situation within this human body and what to speak of going to the lower species. Prabhupada talks about the material endeavor in the purport. He says, when there is a building, and like this tall building, you know, behind our mandir, for so many years they are making it. Still people have not yet come to stay. Some problem is there. If, even if building is full complete, electricity is not there, water is not there, anybody will go to stay over there? Nobody will go. So even a little less minus in material endeavor, it is useless. It is useless. Somebody is going for education and he has done his 3 years of degree out of 4 years. He says, abhi nahi padhne ka man hai, you know. I don't feel like, give me 75% degree, you know, something like that. Will it be given? Or like Shyamananda was giving this example in his class, that there is a match going on, football match. And first half, this first team is winning with 6-0. But in the second half, the second team wins with the 7-6. The team representative come, you know, see, we won in the first half. So give us at least the dhakkan of the trophy. Will it be given? See, we won in the first half, na? So give us the dhakkan of the trophy, you know, the lid of the trophy. We'll be happy with that. No, nothing. You lost. You lost. One who has a last laugh, he wins. That is the point he was making. So that is the nature of this world. People keep feeling in their life, oh, I'm making so much money, I'm having so much, you know, wealth, I have such wonderful family, I have such reputation in the society, and one kick from Maya, finish everything. So this is what person has to understand if he has to put his more energy into the spiritual endeavor. If he doesn't understand that, because the nature of this world is always flux, you know. So much change. Now, if you're in touch with news a little bit, like Anandananpu is from stock, you know. So Manmohan Singh recently has declared red alert. If you heard the news, 2 days back it was there. Red alert means economically red alert. That India is completely in a very dangerous situation. And they're comparing it with the 1991 economic degradation. But they are saying, no, our situation is not so bad. That time we were forced to put our gold as a, you know, we were forced to sell our gold, but now we will take care of it. And rupee has gone down to 56 rupees, and they are telling it will go to 60 rupees in comparison to dollar. Export has reduced from 7.8 to 5.5%. So people are really in anxiety. What is going to happen and how we are going to survive? And especially those who are living on the currency of paper, you know, this share and mutual fund and rupees and everything. But those who have land and everything, whatever happens, they can grow their food and eat. But even there, nowadays, because of the monsoon, even farmers have difficult time. Sometimes monsoon is there, sometimes it's not there. So person has to understand that he is going to lose his situation any time here, you know. Another point which Prabhuji had made in the class about, he said that in Uganda, government changed. And when the government changed, they decided that we don't want these Indians in our country. So they told, leave our country and only airline ticket will be given to you. Whatever you have, at least ours. Just imagine. The person worked so hard, he went to Uganda, he was working so hard, he said, we don't want these Indians. So this is the nature of this world, and we feel like we can make best thing out of it. It's a very unfortunate thing, actually. So person has to realize it and put the endeavor in the right direction. But unfortunately, living entity feels that he's in control or she's in control. In a jail, if somebody starts saying, you know, nothing problem here. I like this dress, that's why I'm wearing it. Do you believe him? You know, breaking the stone is a good exercise, that's why I'm doing it. Will you believe him? No, he's forced to do that. He's forced to do that. Like people say, I'm free to smoke cigarettes. I'm free to smoke. You know, whenever I go, I feel like going and I buy a pack of cigarette, I smoke it, I feel happy. But he has no control when the cancer will strike him. So these are some small points which I just, gathered from the devotees' presentations. And it gives the idea that what kind of illusory world we are living in. It's filled with negativity all around. And that negativity hits us when we practice Krishna consciousness within the association of devotees also. That negativity keeps hitting us. And because there is problems everywhere, the mind always says, see, this is the problem, this is the problem, that is the problem. This is not right, that is not right. That is always going to be there. There will be always problem in this world. One thing is sure in this world, whether other things are sure or not, whether economy will go down or go up, problems are going to be there. Negativity is going to be there. So within that negativity, if by mercy of Lord and his devotees, we can find little positivity and work with that positivity, Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna will reciprocate. Because we don't have a third choice. We have only two choices. Either serve Maya or serve Krishna. So by realizing the nature of this world, you know, at least we can understand that Maya is kicking us. Although we don't have much realization how sweet Krishna is, no matter how much we discuss at this stage about Krishna. But it's very easy to realize that Maya is kicking us left and right. But unfortunately, the media of today's world, that put covering on that also. No, it's going bad. It's going good, you're going to do good, no problem, you know. Like this person, Shishupal, na? When he was, he came to kidnap Rukmini, so he was completely defeated, thoroughly, you know, like destroyed like anything, because Krishna actually kidnapped the Rukmini, and Shishupal came to marry Rukmini, sorry. So that time Shishupal was very sad actually. He said, kya shaadi ke pehle hi utha ke le gaya? You know, all my desires have gone to, you know, what you can say, dirt. So all the kings came, you know, especially this person Jarasandha came to counsel him. He said, 17 times I was defeated by Krishna. Mera time kharab tha. My time was bad. Now your time is bad. And Yadava's time is good. And 18 times he ran away. So this is a similar thing. So they keep giving hope in this world. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives one of the quality of a devotee that he is Asha Bandha. Asha Bandha means he is very hopeful. He is very hopeful about Krishna, but he is not hopeful about this material world. And materialistic people, they are very hopeful about this material world, but they are not hopeful about God. They always doubt about God. Whether God will help me or not. Whether God will do right or wrong. Why God is doing like this? God is doing everything right if you just accept. This material world people are not doing right. They are just ready to suck our blood and going to just exploit it and squeeze it and put in their pocket. You know, something like that. So in one of the purport I was reading, Prabhupada writes that the original energy inspires a devotee. He writes in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj's section. The original energy inspires a devotee and thus he engages all his bodily limbs in the service of the Lord. And the same energy as external potency engages the ordinary non-devotees in material activities for sense enjoyment. It is a very, very wonderful point which I really appreciated. That is actually the same energy, Mahamaya, the external energy or internal energy. Prabhupada gives the example of electricity. The same electricity, when it is passing through the heater, it becomes hot, and when it passes through the refrigerator, it becomes cool. The effect is cool. So the same energy, it just depends on which, whose shelter we are taking. So currently, any living entity who is there in this world, keeping aside all the exalted pure devotees, they are under the influence of Mahamaya. And this influence of Mahamaya inspires them to do sense gratification. And that is the reason when we see outside people, they're working so hard. Yeah? They're so eager, so intense. If you see their intensity of working, we'll feel, you know, ashamed or shy. What we are doing? So they get up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and they're working throughout the day and night, maybe sometimes sleeping 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, especially if you read the life of these different CEOs, you know, of different companies. They just slog like anything. So sometimes we feel from where they're getting the enthusiasm, motivation, inspiration. Same energy. Krishna's energy only. So right now, when we start becoming devotee of Krishna, why we feel tired in chanting? The reason is, after 2 hours of chanting, we get so exhausted because we have been influenced by material energy completely, and now we are trying to come into influence of spiritual energy. So naturally, it's going to be exhausting because we are fighting against the stream, going against the stream of the river. And the more we take shelter of Krishna, more we take shelter of this energy of the Lord, more the chanting and more the service to Krishna will become very natural. And that is the reason a sadhaka finds very difficult to serve Krishna, and a pure devotee just always thinking about serving Krishna. And we feel, are itna kya seva kar raha hai? And engaging me also. go little slow. But he is so much influenced by the internal energy of the Lord that he cannot stop himself. And we can get the indication by seeing a materialist. Fully pakka materialist is so enthusiastic to get material energy's products. So similarly, same energy when he's completely merciful on the pure devotee and influencing him, he becomes so enthusiastic. You know, Prabhupada writes, the more a devotee engages in himself in the devotional service of the Lord, the more encouragement is supplied by the energy of the Lord. And there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satat Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. This is actual understanding of this verse, one of the understanding. That actually when devotee constantly engaging himself, and that is a key, that is the endeavor part we are discussing here. That when devotee constantly engages in the service of the Lord, Tesham Satat Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, you know, with love, Dadami Buddhi, that intelligence, that inspiration, with that intelligence, with the inspiration, person works hard, more and more and more. And when he receives more encouragement, Prabhupada writes, devotee can never forget any time, any moment Krishna. And he becomes so obliged to the Lord, and he increases more. And more encouragement comes, and he increases more. And more encouragement comes, and he increases more. There is like a competition kind of thing. So this is what Krishna's mercy is. This is the connection between endeavor and mercy from this verse, if you try to understand. And actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes very beautiful verse that when person starts endeavoring in this direction to achieve Krishna, and even if person has some material desires, Krishna doesn't care of them. Krishna doesn't bother them. And even if you go with those material desires, Krishna says, "Thik hai, thik hai, baad mein baat karenge uske baare mein. We'll talk later on." You know, he says, Krishna says, Krishna kahe, ama bhaje mage vishaya sukha. Ama bhaje, if somebody is doing bhajan of me, if somebody is worshipping me and wanting what? Vishaya sukha. He wants material enjoyment. Amrit chhaade vishya mage, ehi bada murkha. So this person is so foolish that he is giving up the amrita, nectar, and he is asking poison. What a fool he is. He is a very, very foolish. And it's like, you know, dropping the nectar and grabbing the poison. So he has come with that. And what is my response to that person? Ami vigya ei murkhe vishaya kene diba. Swa charna me to diya vishaya bhulaiba. Since I am intelligent, he is fool, you know, but I don't want to be fool, you know. Sometimes parents, they or many any other superior, not just parents, may not be so intelligent or may not behave as so intelligent that their subordinate are asking for something poison, and out of wrong affection, they end up giving poison. And the epitome of that example is in Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, out of his false affection for the son and for the kingdom, he kept feeding the poison to his son. Kept feeding the poison to that son. And the result is that everything was destroyed. So Krishna is not like that. Krishna is not that kind of selfish master that, okay, you know, my work is happening here, so let him do, you know. Sometime in this material world, even if a master knows that this person is doing wrong and it is not good for him, but if master is getting some favor out of it, he doesn't correct that person. He says, continue. I don't care. My thing is going on. But a selfless master, he will immediately stop him. He will immediately stop him. And rather, even if there is a chance of getting bad words, getting bad words. Like once, one person was playing kite, a small child. And when you're playing the kite, so sometimes you're just doing like this, or going behind. So he was on the roof. And when he was on the roof, there was no wall around it. He was just about to fall. And one of his uncles saw him and came running and just threw him there from there. And what did you expect now from the child? Big shouting. He doesn't know he's going to fall. He's fool. And uncle knows. Shouting, hey, oh, that was the peak of my match. That kite was coming and you actually spoiled whole the match. And now my kite also has gone. What is the problem? You always do like this to me. So this is the situation which people do. When a devotee try to preach or Krishna try to intervene in somebody's life, they start shouting, you know, bad words, big, big words. But Krishna says, I don't care. Similarly, devotees also say, I don't care. I am happy if you are saved. Swa charnamita diya vishay bhulaiva. I will give you the nectar of my lotus feet and I'll make you forget all the taste of that poison. Because that person is also helpless in one way. The people of this material world, including me, we have taste only of material enjoyment. So naturally we get attracted to that. So Krishna says, you come to me, I'll give you that taste. Wait, just have some patience. Just prove that you want me. Because it shouldn't happen that I give you the pot of nectar, you throw it. So just wait. So we don't have much choice. Either we serve Maya or we serve Krishna, you know. Like in one of the lecture, one devotee was saying that our real role never change actually. Either we are real servant or we are illusory master. Either we are real servant or we are illusory master. Maya Devi puts so much trap of her illusion on us that make us feel, oh, I am the master of this world. I am the master of this home. I am the master of this person. And when we start endeavoring in Krishna's service, then we come out of it. Like recently, Shubhulaspu gave the class and he was talking about Pavarga. Pa, fa, ba, ba, ma. Then when the living entity come to this world, first thing, pa. Parishram, he has to work hard to become what? A real servant or illusory master? He has to become illusory master and for that he has to work very hard. It's not that kind of master like sitting and everything is happening. Nothing, nobody is going to listen to you. You have to really work hard. And then with that what happens? Pain comes, foam. And then it leads to bondage, it leads to fear, it leads to death. And the point Prabhuji made, beautiful point which I really appreciated, that same pan pha, when we are doing for Maya, you know, it becomes the cause of bha, bandhan, bondage, fear, and death. And the same pan pha, the hard work and foam, when do it for Krishna, it becomes the cause of liberation. It liberates you from the bha, bha, ma, from the bondage, fear, and death. So this is the glory of endeavoring for Krishna. This is the glory of endeavoring for Krishna. When we endeavor for Krishna, we actually get liberated from the bondage of the parishram and foam. We get liberated from the babhama. Parishram and foam is not a problem, actually. Living entity can get a lot of enjoyment with hard work and foam when he does for Krishna. When outside people see Hare Krishna devotees working hard, sometimes they get impressed. Sometimes. Not all the time. But they get impressed that how you are getting energy. Some of the book distributors would get offers from very big marketing companies, you know, that, okay, you come to me, I'll give you the good job and this and that. Because they're so enthusiastic to work for Krishna. But the problem is, because we are in this world, there are many obstacles in this endeavor. And Krishna talks about it in Bhagavad Gita. Bhogeshwarya prasaktanam taya prahati chaitasam vyavasati atmika buddhir samadhona vidhiyate. That is not easy. Because I just explained that how we are influenced by material energy. So within that influence, to now do something against it, we have asakti, bhog and aishwarya. We are attached to the sense enjoyment and material opulences. And when we are attached, taya aparhati chetasam. What happens? Our intelligence is kidnapped. Kidnapped. And we don't know what to do. Completely kidnapped. And vyavasatmika buddhi samadhuna yuvitati. We cannot work with fixed intelligence. So we keep on tumbling down, you know, keep on, you know, falling down again and again. Not a problem. It's not a problem as long as we continue. As long as we continue. Like vyavasatmika buddhi, you know, ekah kuru nandana. That's what Krishna expects. Like a tree has many branch, not that kind of thing. He expects like all those branch should be combined one after another. Then it goes to sky high, you know, something like that. So right now we have like this. And this is because of Hridaya Dourbalyam. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that Hridaya Dourbalyam is everyone's pathological problem. Like if we go to a laboratory, say if we have some pathological lab, and we say, test karo bhai. Please test why I'm suffering in this world, why I'm not able to practice spiritual life nicely. So they will check and tell you that you have what? Hridaya Dourbalyam. Hridaya Dourbalyam means weakness of the heart. We get succumbed to sense gratification. And the only remedy which acharyas give for it is association of sabal hridaya people, strong-hearted devotees. So when we are around strong-hearted devotees, then we have the courage or the mercy or influence, we can overcome it. And the philosophically, if we try to understand that because they are completely influenced by the internal energy, so we also get influenced by that internal energy, if you try to understand from tattva point of view. So when we are around any zone, the zone which is surcharged with that internal energy, whether the deity form of the Lord, holy name, devotees, the temple, we will be influenced by that. So that's why Prabhupada talks in Act of Instruction, very first lesson he gives in preface. In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. That is the first thing he says. Although he's talking about chant Hare Krishna and be happy, but in that between and, like Gaurangpur recently was talking about, he says chant Hare Krishna and be happy. This and has two big thing, you know. This and is too big. And there is a big staircase between this chant Hare Krishna and be happy, spiritual and material world. And every rung, every step of this ladder is a big disaster where you have to face with your mind and senses. And then Prabhupada says, everyone within this world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. So what we are supposed to do? One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Satguna. And how to do it? By following the instructions of Rupa Goswami given in the Nectar of Instruction, especially the first few verses. First verse, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jivva Vegam Udra Upastha Vegam Etan Veganiyo Vishehete Dhira Saravam Apimam Saprithvim Sashishyat. So we may not be interested in making disciples all over the world, but at least we are interested to become oneself disciple of somebody. So that is possible only when we start with Vacho Vegam, you know, controlling the urge to speak, tongue, genital, mind, anger, you know, all these things. And it is possible actually when we associate with people who are in Satoguna, we endeavor, but still we keep falling. And we don't develop faith because surrender in this world is very scary. Why is it scary? There is a reason for it. Because we don't have good experience of surrender. In this world, whenever people try to surrender to somebody, they get cheated. And they cheated royally. So that's why that fear is there to surrender to God also. That he may also cheat. What if he doesn't do? What if some this happened, that happened? So those bad burning marks are there by living in this world for so long. Whenever we try to surrender to anybody in this world, You know, like this shloka is there, kama adinam katina katida palita durdideshash. You know? It says that for so many lifetimes I'm trying to surrender to these senses. Kama adinam, you know, this lust, anger, pride, anger, envy, greed, illusion. And these masters, na karuna, no pashanti. Yeah? These masters are so cruel that they show no karuna, no compassion. Because they're demanding work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and throughout the life, you know. If you say to the lust, see, I've satisfied you, now keep quiet. Will lust be satisfied? No. Even big people fall down. And we have to accept that. As long as we continue our endeavor, as long as we keep taking shelter of the Lord and devotees again and again. Sugriva, he actually made a very great collaboration, very nice intimate contract with Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is so merciful. Lord Ram doesn't need anybody, but he encourages all kinds of devotees. So if somebody is a Sakam Bhakta or he has some kind of material desires, he will encourage him in that direction. That's how Lord does, you know. So he said, okay, oh, my wife is lost. Your wife is also lost. We are friends. You help me in getting my wife. I'll help you getting your wife. He doesn't need to get his wife his help. But, you know, this is how the friendship works. We are on the same platform. Don't worry. So first Lord Ram helped Sugriva like anything. You know, he killed Bali. He gave him the position. He gave him the kingdom. And then there was this season now, monsoon season, which is started. That's it started. So he said, okay, Ram Chandraji, you know, I'm very happy you helped me and I'm fully committed to my vow that I'll find Sita, but now this 4 month rainy season, we can't do anything. So after 4 months, we'll start the search. And as the nature of this world, when person gets all the facilities, you know, all the opulences, all the facilities for sense gratification, there is a 110% chance, not just 99% chance, that person will get attached to it. So Sugriva got attached to it. 4 months of rainy season passed and he didn't do anything. What to speak of doing anything? He didn't send even a message to Lord Ram. We are working on it. We are thinking about it like politicians do. At least that much he would have done. You know, we are thinking, we have been doing, we'll be doing, you know. But he didn't do anything like that. He became so engrossed. And Lord Ram, he was, you know, furious. He said, he first became so sad. He started revealing his heart to his younger brother, that is the only association he has. He said, Lakshman, these 4 months were like 100 years for me. And I am separated from my Priyatama. My kingdom has been taken away. My wife has been taken away. I have been thrown out of my country. And this Sugriva is not showing any mercy on me. I am like an orphan, struggling here and there, running here and there. I am Dina. I am poor. I have lost all my shelter. He came to my shelter asking for help. I helped him. But he's becoming so ungrateful. He has fixed the time for searching Sita, but he's not doing anything. This less intelligent monkey, even after promising, he's not doing anything in this regard. So please go and tell him that the path, the way on which Bali had gone, that path is not closed. That path is still open. I don't need his help. I can manage on my own, but I'll finish him home first. So there is much more details to it. And then when Lakshman is hearing all this, you can imagine what will be happening to Lakshman, you know. Lakshman cannot even sense little bit pain in Lord Ram. And now Lord Ram is just expressing all the pain. Lord Lakshman became so angry, red hot iron eyes and head shivering and, you know. And he just went into the kingdom of Sugriva. And just by seeing him, you know, all the monkeys and everybody, first they started also showing, you know, we also there. So they brought their weapons. Now Lakshman became more angry. And by seeing that anger, they ran away. Well, now we can't see him. And they ran and ran to Sugriva's chamber. And after going there, they started telling the news. But when person is attached to sense gratification, he cannot hear good advice. That is a problem again. No matter how much good advice we give to that person. Tareya sahitaha kami saktaha kapi vrishastada na tesham kapi singhanam shushrav vachanam tada. That kami, that lusty Sugriva, with Tara and others, he was completely engrossed in enjoying the sense gratification. And Lakshman was becoming red hot, like a volcano. He was like a five-mouthed serpent. Didn't hear. Then Angad came, you know. So then Lakshman said, go, give my message. Then Angad goes with a lot of fear and everything. He massages the feet of Sugriva. He shouts. He requests again and again. And he says that Sumitra Nandan has come. But still, Babuba Madmattasya Madanena Cha Mohita. Because of the influence of Madana, Sugriva was not able to listen. He was completely engrossed. His eyes were intoxicated with liquor. His mind was not healthy. And in neck, he was wearing so many garlands. Hanuman was also trying to give advice. Nothing doing. And then actually when Lakshman actually came inside and Sugriva got really scared, then he went one lawyer on his side, that to a lady lawyer, so that Lakshman becomes, you know, calm. Tara comes and he starts pacifying that, you know, what do you expect from monkey? Even big rishis got affected by lust. So please calm down. So the point here is that this lust or this sense gratification or any other material object is going to bother us. We have to accept this. Because we have been slaves of these things since time immemorial. The glory will be only when we keep taking shelter of Krishna. We keep endeavoring to achieve Him. And that is what Prabhupada expects from us. You know, he doesn't expect much more than this. And he has given such examples from his life. He has accepted anybody and everybody. You know, he gives the beautiful example of a sparrow. The beautiful example that sparrow's eggs were stolen. And ocean has stolen them. And she threatened that, please return my eggs. Otherwise, I'll dry you up. Is it possible? It is never possible, actually. But her determination attracted the mercy of Garuda. And while endeavoring, recently this devotee was sharing in the class that while endeavoring, she was not cribbing again and again. She was not complaining, sending the emails to Garuda or to the Lord, please come and help me. He just kept doing his part. He just kept doing her part. And that's what, you know, the Paramatma is there in the witness of our sincerity, and according to how we please the Lord in the heart with our sincerity and determination, we either advance or go down. That is the only thing is there. And we see so many examples are there in the scriptures. Like in contrast to Sugriva, if you see Hanuman, he also had to face many objects. But he is a very high devotee and very advanced devotee. He doesn't succumb to any sense object. That's why Shastras gives all kinds of examples. That there are devotees who got succumb and there are devotees who didn't get succumb. So that all kind of devotees can get inspiration. Otherwise, if all the pure devotees' examples are there, it will be difficult. There is an example of Mrigari on one extreme, there is an example of Sugriva another in between, and there is an example of Hanuman on another extreme. And in the Prabhupada life also, and Prabhupada disciples' life also, there are examples like that. And Prabhupada, that's why, accommodated anybody and everybody who came forward to serve him and his mission. So endeavoring in practical sense in our life, being connected to ISKCON, is actually serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada. In essence, the details will change. And Prabhupada didn't discriminate anybody in that regard. When Prabhupada was building this Juhu temple, I'll conclude with this example, so many problems were there since beginning. You know, and Krishna puts those kind of difficulties to, you know, glorify his pure devotee. So that time when Prabhupada, from the time he bought that land, so many problems were there. And that time only one person had come to meet Prabhupada, and his name was Mr. Sethi. And when he came first time to meet Prabhupada, he used to stay in Goregaon that time. And Prabhupada asked him, so Mr. Sethi, what you do during the day? And he said, Prabhupada, I get up, I brush my teeth, I take my bath, I have a cup of tea and a piece of toast, then I read newspaper and go for work. And then Prabhupada said, then what is the difference between you and hog? He got a shock of his life. He said, yeah, that's right, you know. He never expected that kind of answer in the first meeting kind of thing. But Prabhupada had experience with his spiritual master, because he also got the instruction in the first meeting only from his spiritual master. So he told him, see, because he asked very humbly, Mr. Sethi, so what should I do? He was a pious Hare Krishna person. He was already connected to a group of Kirtaniyas, and he was a very wonderful pious devotee. So Prabhupada said, then you should invite every Sunday morning all the devotees, have Harinam Sankirtan, and feed them with sumptuous prasad. And then Mr. Sethi took it so seriously. Every Sunday he would invite. And devotees would go and do kirtan. And later on, when Prabhupada bought the Juhu land, he actually shifted his home behind the Juhu land. He bought a place and he constructed his house. And he helped so much from beginning only. Like, they were not getting the permission for building the temple. So he came forward and he actually got the permission, because there were some 6 two-story houses on that land. So he got the permission to add one more apartment to it, one more floor to it. And Prabhupada was so happy with that. And they were making the rooms and everything. And he invited Prabhupada. He said, see, we got this. And then when Prabhupada saw that how he's making those rooms, he got that permission. Prabhupada said, just as you're building these rooms for my disciples here, Krishna is building your rooms for you in Vaikuntha. That's the promise he gave. And later on also, it's not that is the only service he did. Later on, so many times he helped, especially the legal issues. Na? They were very difficult for the foreign disciples of Prabhupada to deal in India. That too, at every spot, every step, they would demand money, the bribe. So he into that area, he's into that field, you know, so he knows how to get the things done. And once when he asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, you know, many times disciples are asking, you are not initiated. So Prabhupada said, see, you are more than my disciple. And you know, if I initiate it, you will not be able to do the work which I have to get it done, which I have to do through you. And if you get initiated, at the most you will be serving deity. But actually you're serving devotees. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadyaram Samarchanam. So serving devotees is better than serving Krishna also. So don't worry about it. I'm there. You know. So that's why we have to understand the service attitude of the person. We have to understand which mode he is getting connected to the mission, in which mode he is contributing to the mission, and which mode the devotees are accepting those people. And then we can encourage them, glorify them, and appreciate them. It is a very important thing. If we just go for external point of view, Mr. Sethi never got initiated. But what things he did, you know, when they broke the temple, they had made the small temple in Juhu Beach, and Mr. Nair had sent, Mrs. Nair, I think, she had sent the people to break the temple. And now on the weekend was there, because now actually Mrs. Nair approached the judge that, you know, you give us 2 days stay notice and later on we can talk on a Monday. But he said, no, we'll talk on Monday. The devotees had only 2 days time that they can reconstruct the temple in those 2 days. 2 days is not easy in India to construct the temple, you know, the building and in the overnight and with not much help and facility. So they started doing it. Prabhupada said, do it. And when they were making it, they didn't have cement. Because that time, if you know the history a little bit, that time in 70s, cement was on, you know, license. Even I used to sit on my shop that we had a, you know, business. So only with license you can get a cement and all that. Even bricks were not available very easily. How to make it? So Mr. Sethi brought from his own construction site all the cement, all the bricks. And not only that, he was standing there. So when Mr. Mathre, you know, was a municipal councillor, he was a good friend of Mr. N. He said, no, nothing doing. You are not going to build this. This is illegal. He said, who are you? He was standing. Who? Mr. Sethi, who are you? He said, I am this, I am that. Bole, hoga jo hoga. You know? He said, okay, I'll bring the gundas in the night, 50 gundas. So his son was also there, Mr. Sethi's son, Brajmohan. He said, Brajmohan, bring my revolver, bring my pistol. And you don't bring 50 gundas, you bring 100, 200. I have 250 cartage. And whole night, he was standing there. Raining, it was raining. And he didn't come, Mr. Mathre with gundas. And Mr. Sethi also didn't leave. So that is a kind of endeavor or contribution he was actually putting in Prabhupada's mission. And later on, Prabhupada was so affectionate to him. When Prabhupada got his quarter made in 77, only for a few months before his leaving, he invited Mr. Sethi. He said, see what my disciples have done. They have made such beautiful quarters. They are so spacious, so airy. And you know, I had one desire, Mr. Sethi. I always wanted you to stay with us. But you know, our condition was so austere. You needed a good facility. And you never came with us. But now you use these quarters, you know. I want you to stay here. He said, no, 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 Swamiji. No. These disciples are made for you and, you know. Prabhupada said, I'm a sannyasi. I can stay anywhere. You stay here. So that is the loving reciprocation they had. And that is the result when he was passing around 2-3 years back from this world, when he was 88 year old, he started talking actually one day suddenly. He started talking that Prabhupada is calling me. He's preparing a room for me. And when it is ready, he will take me. I'm going back to my Guruji. And next day he insisted, I have to go to temple. So they took him to temple 11 p.m., you know, later on, no, sorry, next day. And then after 3 days, surrounded by a lot of devotees and everybody, thinking of Krishna, he actually departed from this world. So this should give us faith in the Prabhupada mission, that if all kinds of devotees are serving, you know, like when this 10th canto started, so Gauranga was giving class on Putana section, that he was talking about Kaimuthika Nyaya, that Putana, she came to kill, and even she got such a wonderful position. And he was giving the example of, say, some terrorist planned a bomb in a parliament, and he is given the post of prime minister. This is Kaimuthika Nyaya, that what if, you know, he was giving the example of if somebody has saying that I have eaten 56 bhog, but still I can eat 10 rasgullas. What if I am eating without eating any food before, how many more I will eat? You know, this is Kaimuthika Nyaya. What if this is not there? So if Krishna is so merciful, the even people who do little endeavor, all kind of devotees who come forward to serve Prabhupada and his mission, say how much merciful he will be for us. And that's why we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Life of Devotees, to develop faith in the mercy of Krishna. And when we develop faith in the mercy of Krishna, then we become very motivated to pour our energy into the spiritual endeavor. So this is a little collection of few points which I just gathered from the devotees. And if anything good, please take it. Thank you very much. Any comment or anything? Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you.